Current State on 90.5 WKAR. It's Sexual Assault Awareness Month, and a number of events have been happening across the MSU campus and in the Lansing area to bring attention to the issues surrounding sexual violence. Today in particular, there are numerous events planned as part of Take Back the Night, and Current State's Joe Lindstroth is here with more. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Mark. That's right. Today is jam-packed with events for Take Back the Night. There will be workshops, art displays, a candlelight vigil, and later tonight, the events will culminate with a march down Michigan Avenue from the campus to the Capitol steps. The events are, of course, meant to raise awareness about sexual violence, which is an ongoing, often silent problem in our culture, especially on college campuses. According to statistics, 1 in 4 women is likely to be raped or sexually assaulted while in college. And, of course, we're seeing that problem manifest here in Michigan with both MSU and the University of Michigan under federal investigation for their handling of the issues. I recently spoke with two young leaders on the campus about sexual assault. Rachel Burzak is the coordinator of today's Take Back the Night events, and Laura Swanson is putting the finishing touches on a documentary film about sexual assault in the MSU and Lansing community. They both are also volunteers with the Sexual Assault Crisis Intervention Team, which means that when they're on call, they get paged when someone reports a sexual assault at the hospital. And I asked Laura to describe the state the victims are usually in when they arrive at the hospital, often just hours after the person has been assaulted.
Most of the time, the person's confused. I think that's absolutely the number one reaction that we get, because with sexual assault, it is confusing. So they're confused, they're anxious, and they're going to be weary of your presence. So it's important for us to be calm and to approach them in a nice fashion and just to tell them that we're there for them and for their support, and we don't expect anything out of them.
How often does your pager go off, Rachel?
My pager probably goes off, I would say, at least 1 to 2 times every time I'm on a backup shift, and that's usually 2 to 3 days, like usually a 72-hour period. A month I'm on backup, and within that 72-hour period, I will get at least one page, if not more than one.
And Laura, and you, when you're on backup, how often does your pager go off?
Well, I'm on backup right now, and my pager has gone off twice today, one for pediatrics and one for a sexual assault adult case. And I'm feeling like it's going to go off again tonight. So I agree with Rachel. When I seem to have the pager, it seems to be between 1 and 3 times.
This is relatively common. It'll go off at least once during your 72-hour shift.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
What does that tell you about sexual assault in our community that this pager is going off? Laura?
First thing it tells me that I'm glad that people are reporting and that they're aware of these services, because I don't think most people are. But then it also tells me that this is happening way more than people know about, because I really doubt that people within our community have any sense of, you know, people being sexually assaulted 2 to 3 times a day and going to the hospital for this.
Rachel, how often do victims, in your experience, press charges or file a formal complaint?
Very little. Sexual assault in general is one of the most underreported crimes in our country. We're talking 50% generously report, but I don't know off the top of my head how much people report to the police, but it's not as much as I wished it was. I know that.
And Laura, in your experience, how often do the victims report the incident to the police?
Most of the time when I've been on call, I can't say for after I see them in their state, but most of the time that I have been with them, they have been reluctant and not really interested in law enforcement, because I think there's just, you know, a sense of fear or being scared or being ashamed of this issue. And so I see the lack of reporting as being consistent with the statistics, even though I believe that the statistics still don't show as much lack of reporting as there actually is.
You often hear that it's not in the victim's best interest to file criminal charges.
Sure.
Why not?
Well, victims, if you're reporting sexual assault, unfortunately, in this country, we have a history of kind of putting the victim under the microscope when that happens, as opposed to the perpetrator. And so the victim is often worried or concerned about re-victimization, about having her private life splattered in front of a jury and her reputation smeared and belittled. in order to try to excuse the assault that was committed against her. So I think just fear of having to be that raw and ripped wide open in front of strangers all over again after you've already survived, experienced the trauma in of itself, that's a whole nother trauma to have to deal with after that I think a lot of survivors just really don't want to deal with or have the strength for at that time.
And I think, Rachel, this brings up a larger point, and that's the idea of a rape culture.
Absolutely.
Laura, what is rape culture? Can you give us a sense of what that means?
Rape culture, to me, is any sort of society or culture that excuses or normalizes sexual violence.
Can you give us an example?
I would say, you know, in terms of the objectification of women and men in magazines, you can see them displayed in ads in very sexual positions or as if they're under duress or if they are being raped. And that's kind of glorified or seen as sexy. Also promoting sex and violence in films, as well as, you know, we are in a society that's, you know, we have a lot of distribution of pornography. And with that pornography comes a lot of ideas and can be, you know, violence and sexuality can go hand in hand in pornography as well.
Rachel, how would you describe rape culture?
I mean, I think what Laura said is spot on. I think we can see it too in, I guess, kind of just the way that our society responds to accusations of rape. For example, if we're looking at professional athletes, a lot of the things that we'll hear in response to those rape allegations are, well, what did you expect? You know, going into his room that late at night, what did you think was going to happen? So a lot of victim blaming is what I imagine coming with rape culture, and really just by and large favoring the experience of the assailant over the experience of the victim, apologizing and defending rapists, apologizing for defending rapists rather than protecting the victim and empowering them.
Well, I think one of the reasons why sexual assaults are some of the most difficult crimes to prosecute is ultimately it comes down to a he said, she said,
yes,
or a she said, she said, or
yes,
whatever sort of combination of genders you want to use in that situation.
Yeah.
What do the statistics show about women who lie about being sexually assaulted? Is that common?
No.
No, it's not. It's the same as any other felonious crime reporting. That's fake as well.
Which is around 2% false reporting.
So if we live in a rape culture where most sexual assaults are never charged and most victims don't report their crime, what do we do about the issue? How do you make it better? Rachel?
That's a really good question. I think that there are a lot of ways to make it better. I think on an individual level, just really kind of educating yourself, being willing to expose yourself to the reality of the situation, and being supportive. I mean, statistically, everybody probably has a friend or a family or somebody that they're close to that has experienced something like this to some degree. And maybe you don't know who that person is, but kind of being open and ready to support somebody like that, and help them feel comfortable coming forward. I think on a larger level, advocacy plays a huge role in really bridging those community gaps between service provision and survivors and the general population, to really just have that community education and prevention piece. So I think advocacy is huge in ending this.
Laura, to that point, how would you characterize your peers' knowledge of the issues surrounding sexual assault? I think especially among men, but in general among your peers, how aware are college-age students to the issues of sexual assault?
I think that it's getting better. But my problem is that I still often sometimes when I speak to people, they are just floored by the idea of 1 in 4 women or 1 in 6 men. And when I tell them about different forms of, you know, sexual assault and rape that do not follow, you know, the traditional rape schemas, they're also like very confused. And so that leads me to believe that we're not educating people enough and we're not telling them about how these things differ from how we traditionally have thought about rape and sexual assault within our society. And so I think that there's a grand lack of education within, you know, our MSU community as well as our, you know, outside that in the rest of our world.
You're listening to Current State on WKAR. I'm Joe Lindstroth, and I'm speaking with Rachel Burzak. She's the coordinator of today's Take Back the Night events, and Laura Swanson, the creator of the documentary film Every 2 Minutes, which addresses issues surrounding sexual violence at MSU and in the Lansing area. Rachel, what role can men play in bringing about more awareness in sexual assault?
I think men can play a huge role. Especially when we're thinking about most men are not rapists. And I think that's something that's hard for people to hear or pay attention to when we're trying to have these conversations, is they automatically get on the defensive and, you know, we're crazy feminists who have this anti-male agenda. And that's not the case. Most men are not rapists. Most men are nonviolent in that form. So I guess, as a man speaking out against rape, against sexual assault, if you're at a party and you see two drunken frat brothers, you know, tugging of war on a girl's arm who's clearly intoxicated, to see who, you know, whose room is she going to go back to when this woman cannot consent to what's happening to her, as a man stepping in and saying, dude, that's not cool, that's really disgusting, and helping her get home safely, as opposed to being the first one that can take advantage of her, to refrain from telling rape jokes, making light of the situation, and to speak out in defense of both women and men who experience this, because it's not something that only victimizes women. Yes, statistically, women are by and large the victims, but men are assaulted too, and men need that voice as allies and as survivors.
Laura, you have something you want to add?
Yeah, I just want to say that I think the primary thing is speaking out, because I think that, you know, women have started to do this, and you still have a long way to go, but I think that it's, you know, it's good when we see the men come out and speak as well, because I think that there are a ton of male allies out there, but I don't think the general population sees it that way or knows that there are male allies out there, or that there are as many male survivors possibly as female survivors. And so I think speaking out and having that courage is what is going to change, you know, this society.
Absolutely. And speaking of perceptions and misconceptions, Rachel, you touched on it. What are the misconceptions of people who advocate for more sexual assault awareness?
Well, I think that one of the biggest misconceptions is that feminist equals man-hater. Feminist is nothing more than a label for advocating for social justice, and not social justice just for women, but that intersects with race, with sexual orientation, with ethnicity and culture. So I think that's the biggest misconception, is that we are angry feminists who have some kind of anti-male agenda, so we're creating this rape culture hysteria with inflated statistics to make people afraid. That's what I've been hearing a lot of recently, I guess, from people who oppose the work that we're doing. And so I think people are taking the focus off of what our actual goal is, which is to stop violence, to stop humans from treating each other this way, and to create safe spaces for people to talk about these experiences and to heal from them.
Laura, you're wrapping up a film entitled Every 2 Minutes. Tell me about it.
Okay, so Every 2 Minutes started because of RAINS, the national organization. They had a statistic come out that a certain number of Americans were sexually assaulted each year. And when you break that up, that counts to every 2 minutes passing a person within our nation is sexually assaulted. So based on that, and based on what I've seen working in advocacy, I wanted to do a film that showcased, you know, firsthand, the survivors' stories, what is happening within our community, and how that's not only happening here, but it's applicable to the rest of our nation. And so you get to see the advocacy programs, you get to see how people respond, how people are educated, and how we're working and fighting to end this violence within our community.
And you have testimonials from survivors.
Yes, we have 17 survivors in total.
Wow.
There are 17 survivor testimonials, and more to come, because on our website we'll be opening up a portal for people from around the world to be able to share their stories on our website as well.
Did you have a hard time finding people to share their stories with you?
Surprisingly, no. I did not. When I started mentioning this, of course, I run in circles with people that do this work and have become a lot more comfortable with it. But I've just been amazed at how many people came forward just from my posting, you know, anonymous ads or saying, hey, if you, you know, on Facebook, if you know of a survivor or a co-survivor that would be interested in sharing their story and coming forward, let me know. And we just kept getting so many people, and they were, I think they're really excited that someone was there and wanted to promote from a good aspect, about sexual mm-hmm. violence, and not promoting it through myths or doing anything like that, but really trying to get across the right message and shifting the blame where it needs to go.
And Rachel, later today, you have a busy day today.
Yes, I do.
Take back the night. You have events planned all day. What do you have planned?
All day. It's a marathon. So at 10 a.m., we'll be putting up the Clothesline Project and the Silent Silhouettes, which are the Clothesline Project are T-shirts that were created by survivors to give voice and image to their experiences. So they get a T-shirt, and they can kind of write or depict whatever part of their story they want on there. And those shirts are hung from a clothesline through Beaumont Tower from 11 to 3 p.m. We will have community workshops at the Lake Erie Room in the MSU Union. We'll be doing one called Healing Not Broken, a self-defense workshop, a sexual empowerment workshop, and one about rape culture and consent. And then we'll have a survivor speak out and candlelight vigil. 5 to 6:30 will be the speak out, and then 6:30 to 7 we'll have the vigil. And the vigil is really more like a safe space for people who maybe are still struggling with their experience, struggling to find a voice for it. And so that space is for female-identified individuals only. So at 6:30, any male-identified individuals will break away to kind of the other side of Beaumont Field, where they'll host a men's forum and kind of talk about what you were asking me earlier. What is men's role in ending this violence? How can we help? What does that mean for us as survivors and as allies? And then we'll come back together at 7 p.m. to march down Michigan Avenue to the Capitol steps, where Tashmika Taroke from the Firecracker Foundation and Gretchen Whitmer will both be speaking. So hopefully we'll have a really good turnout. I think it should be really powerful. I'm very excited.
That's a long day of events planned.
It is very long.
Rachel Burzak is the coordinator of today's Take Back the Night events, and Laura Swanson is the creator of the documentary film Every 2 Minutes, which addresses issues surrounding sexual violence at MSU in the Lansing area. Rachel, Laura, thank you very much for talking with me today.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
For Current State, I'm Joe Lindstroth.
And there will be a screening of Laura's film, Every 2 Minutes, at Studio C in Okemos. That's on Thursday, April 24th at 7 p.m.